Some people, they just have an eye. They have a sense of what goes where, a sense, you would call it style. Now, how to combine elements in a room, that layering of taste and joy in the play of objects, or to put that another way, the alchemy of things. Now, that is the title of a new book from Karen McCartney. Now, in it, you'll find 18 fascinating creative homes, interiors that play with texture, light, collectibles. I think we should get Karen to explain more. Karen, welcome.
Oh, it's lovely to be talking to you.
Fantastic book. That expression, it's a wonderful phrase, the alchemy of things. Give us your definition.
Well, I was just delighted with that title because, as you know, in this world, there are so many interiors books. And how do you distinguish yourself and actually sum up something that feels a bit different while still communicating the core of the book's content? And the subtitle is Interiorship by Curious Minds, because I was very keen on that, having that word curious in there somewhere. So it's sort of the title combines, as you outlined in a very articulate fashion, that way that some people do have this sense of how to bring things together. It's sort of both intuitive and learnt, but they practice. And people these days, they kind of want to do things easily. And, you know, a lot of these interiors are crafted over time and years and care. And that's how they get to the point that they've achieved by the time we've shot it for the book.
And they're idiosyncratic. I mean, a lot of us, you know, we see the pictures in books, we pick up tips, you know, we follow the rules and we place things, but these are people who have that great gift of instinct.
They do. And often they've worked. I mean, they are a lot of, you know, we have artists, we have people who've dealt in vintage furniture and people who deal in contemporary furniture.
Yeah, there are some collections here.
There are some serious collections. And a couple of them, both Australian, Rodney DeSouce, who used to have a really beautiful shop in Queen Street, Woollahra, called Copeland and DeSouce, and Geoffrey Hattie, Applied Arts, who, you know, he's still a dealer in Melbourne. You know, it's, Geoffrey describes his place as the house of misfits, because he sort of says it's things that he knows are good, but have never quite found a buyer. And they're like sort of slightly unloved children that he collects and nourishes and puts together with other unloved children. And so he creates this incredible dynamic, but he knows that they're things that they're not for everyone.
There's a sense too, I mean, these are very individual choices. And when someone, you know, following that true creative instinct and applying that creative instinct to a living space, that says a lot about them.
Oh, I mean, the most beautiful quote in the book is from Rodney DeSouce, and he says, you know, letting someone into your home is like letting them read your diary.
That's,
you know,
yes,
everything is on show. It's a kind of, when you care that much, and my feeling is, you know, nobody wants to read as a blank page. What is your home saying about you? And there's a challenging question for all of us, I think.
Yes, and perhaps the answer might not be too flattering for
that's
many
right.
of us. I mean, that's the thing you mentioned there of a blank page, and that as an aesthetic proposition has been reasonably dominant, perhaps to minimalism as in many instances as a substitute for taste.
Well, I mean, it's sort of, it still needs to be immaculately done, or it's just boring and thoughtless. But this book is kind of the opposite.
Well, this is the antithesis,
yes,
to
it. It is.
Yes, this is robust clutter.
It is robust clutter, curated clutter, I told my sister, and she said, yes, that really appeals to me, although I think suspect hers is less of the curation.
That's one sort of, you know, point of similarity in the styles of the spaces that you document here. But, I mean, other things that sort of pull this together, do you think?
I think what was really interesting that we went, chose the 18 places because of the aesthetic, but then in talking to and interviewing the people, they have such a fully developed sense of their style and why they do what they do, and They have a sort of philosophy around it. So it was really lovely for me to be able to draw out those ideas in the text. So it's not just, here's a set of pretty pictures.
Yes.
It really has depth to it in terms of how they think about it. And not in a sort of pompous way. You know, people are very, very grounded. You know, there's an artist couple, Henk and Hubert, who live in the south of France. And, you know, they don't have a lot of money, but that is made up by the sheer inventiveness of how they approach their space, how they reuse things, how they collect things. And Henk has come over to Australia, and I was asking him about, you know, this idea that he has that things that are broken or slightly distressed or damaged, that their beauty isn't reduced by it. And so that these notions that challenge how we tend to think, how we reject something if it has a chip or whatever.
How did you come, I mean, 18 different places and yeah, not all just individuals, but how do these people sort of come onto your radar? What's the connecting line there?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and something I talked about last night at our launch, which was this idea of the relationships that you tap into and the connections that you create through doing these kind of exercises, and how you rely on the kind of generosity of people, both to point you in the right direction and then for people to actually open their homes. Because unlike some people, a lot of these people, they don't care whether they're not in it for any sort of publicity. They don't really, they're almost a slightly reluctant, some of them. And so that was through really those connections and introductions, which were easier in Australia because, you know, we live here, we know people here. It was that bit harder in Europe where you rely on, as I say, some sort of introduction. But what I did with the European ones is I sent them my previous book, Perfect Imperfect, and that was really handy so that they could kind of go, okay, this person's going to do it too. They might be in Australia. I might not know them from a bar of soap.
They might be in Australia.
They might be. But I can see the kind of work they do, and that gave them a degree of confidence around the photography, the production values of the book and so forth. So that was it.
That gives something away there. I mean, we're talking here about manicured spaces. I mean, how much preparation before the shoot? How much styling?
Well, there was my husband, David Harrison, was the kind of art director and stylist on the shoot. And he and Michael, we, the photographer, you know, did this kind of month's odyssey through Europe, you know, in Ghent, The Hague, Arezzo, you know, they were all over the place. And so they had to go into these homes and actually make very quick decisions about, you know, because the camera sees things in a different way than the eye.
Sure.
And sort of shifting certain things for clarity, but without upsetting the people or making them feel that somehow their aesthetic wasn't being properly
reflected. Were there any points of disagreement in that process?
There were a few tensions, but and they were very good about showing them the images. And we did have one situation where we'd been given an email and set up a whole shoot, but there was a misunderstanding of the recipient of the email. So they arrived at this Parisian apartment, and David is thinking, this doesn't feel like the one that we agreed. But they just went through the whole process, and it kind of came out during the conversation that it wasn't the right apartment. Oh. It was different people.
Next door. Oh, you want number 18.
It was another Michael completely. But that was so beautiful because their chapter is gorgeous in this sense of kind of alchemy and accident and so forth.
So
all
that's
rolled
in there
in.
As a complete
it's
accident.
In there.
Is that
it's complete, yes. Completely in there. And they were so charming and lovely about it and embraced the whole process.
I mean, for a reader, I mean, I guess this is me. I mean, I tend to look at a book like that and you're looking for, oh, that little corner, how that works there or how that object sits with that. I mean, it's not a thing that you can replicate, but it's, there are tools in that that you can apply to your own spaces.
Absolutely. And I think one of the main things is that sort of you need to look closely, and it's a book that actually you can sit with.
Mm.
And also, I think even the message is even a kind of bigger one. It's kind of liberating. It's sort of that you don't need to hop along following trends, that if you have a way of looking at the world or a way of expressing the world, just kind of follow that. It kind of moves away from this cycle of, you know, is blue in or whatever, because these people all express it with such confidence.
But so that confidence, that to buck the trend,
yes.
You know, to play, to follow your own furrow, that takes a great amount of sort of ascetic confidence.
Doesn't it just? I know. And a lot of these people have developed, as I said, over a long period of time. And a lot of these interiors, you know, these days we want to get quick fixes. We want things that kind of work quickly. And that's fine too, if that's what suits your lifestyle and how you want to be. But you can't look at those things and go, why can't I have that? You can. It's just about the care. It's not even about money. It's about an attitude and a care factor and a conviction.
And it's not about a general proposition of taste. You know, it can be rooms that people just can't stand.
Yes,
absolutely. But you love it.
Well, and also I thought in this book there might be places that people really didn't like, and I was happy with that. I wasn't trying to be a crowd pleaser. But what is interesting is people, even if it's not their taste, they appreciate the kind of strong dynamic and assertion of a certain look. And I in interviewing Rodney, who I keep coming back to, I said the word taste, and he kind of shuddered at that, the mere notion of that, and I wasn't allowed to say that. And so it's this thing of they don't look left or right. They kind of, as you said, follow their own furrow.
And what comes first, a collection or a space?
I think it's a collecting mentality, because some of the spaces, you know, they're not that interesting in themselves. Some of them are, but it's more the things that they fill them with. And I was thinking about it, there's about three architects in the book, because architects generally don't like things in their spaces, but John Wardle does, and he's in there, and Timothy Hill, who's in Hobart, and an Italian architect who has this incredible place in Arezzo that's just chocka with, you know, amazing things and colour and pattern and texture.
Are there surprises in that sometimes with people whose own spaces, own interiors are sort of, you know, conflict with their public work, where there's a real distinction between those two things?
Yes, I suppose when you have a client, you have a brief, and you know, every place in this book is lived in by the owners. So we haven't chosen anywhere a decorator has done a job, because that becomes another artifice in a way. So these are deeply personal, and I think that's where the quirks come through, and these idiosyncrasies.
Been inspired yourself by this
oh,
this
utterly,
process.
utterly, utterly inspired. And also, you know, this sense that you can kind of let go a bit. When you work in the design world, you know, you're like a kind of, you know, magpie. You're picking up a bit of this and that, and it makes you settle in a way, and kind of just think, yep, that's great for now. That'll be in and gone. And it just allows you to kind of center yourself a little bit.
Karen, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Karen McCartney, and her new book is The Alchemy of Things, Interiors Shaped by Curious Minds. You'll find that in shops. You'll also find a link to it. All the details on the blueprint page on the RN website. A feast of inspiration, as is this program in its entirety. Yes, Blueprint for Living here on RN.